Well, if you're visiting with us this morning, one thing we want you to know is we're a biblical church, and part of that is that we have a commitment to, generally speaking, preach consecutively through passages of Scripture, whole books of the Bible. I think that's one of the best ways to learn what the Bible says, learn what Jesus said, who he was, what he did for us, and grow in our faith. From time to time, we do more occasional sermons, and today is actually going to be one of those. You might call this a pastoral privilege, kind of sermon, it being our five-year anniversary today. I wanted to pause our series in Luke, which is what we've been going through, and just hopefully help us reflect a little bit on 5 years as a church. So that's the plan for today, and I'm going to read, to help us do that, two passages that I think are really foundational for Christian ministry from 1 Corinthians. So those, I believe, are in your bulletin, or just listen as I read from God's Word here. Beginning in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5 through 9. What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. And then from 1 Corinthians 15, the final part of this chapter, all about the resurrection. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. This is the word of the Lord. Well, anniversaries, of course, are times for both remembering and reflecting. That's true in the good anniversaries of our life and some of the harder ones. Every year, my wife and I, normally on our anniversary, take time to remember and reflect. Maybe pull out the old wedding album, look at some old pictures. It's also the case that every year, on the anniversary of my mom's death, some 20-something years ago, we take time to remember and reflect and think about. And that's what anniversaries are for. And so, as I said, this is a significant Sunday in a way, a milestone for our church. It's the fifth anniversary. And so I want to take a little bit more time than I could later remembering and reflecting. Because, you know, church planting, starting a church, it's actually pretty hard. As I've said to people who've asked me over the years, and I think I said to some of you, I'm not planning to do this again. In fact, I hope I don't have to. Honestly, I'm good with just the one, if the Lord would have it that way. But God has been so faithful to his church, of course, and to this particular church. And so I didn't want to let this Sunday pass without acknowledging that. And I want to use 1 Corinthians 15, these two passages, just to guide us on a few different reflections for this morning. And here's the outline. As we celebrate the fifth anniversary of this church, I want us to be thankful, to be encouraged, and be motivated. Be thankful, be encouraged, be motivated. So first of all, today is a day to be thankful, right? Let's be thankful. As you look back on the last 5 years, as I was thinking back about it this week, I mean, one of the things that I feel is just gratitude. Gratitude. And not some generic gratitude to the universe or something like that. Like gratitude to God. Gratitude to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because as we just read, and unless the Lord builds the house, you labor in vain. Right? And of course, that's an important truth for our life in general. That's kind of why we read from Deuteronomy 8. And, right? It's unless the Lord prospers the work that we give our hands to, it really won't go anywhere. And we don't want to forget that in any area of our life. But it's certainly true for the work of the church. Unless the Lord builds the house, you know, we're not going anywhere. And some of you might have been there, it was a while ago now, a little over 4 years ago, the very first sermon at Sojourn Church that I preached back in February of 2022 was on Psalm 127. The title was, "We Can't Do This, But Christ Can." Yeah, that's how I felt. That's how I still feel. What we're about to start doing, we actually don't have the ability to do unless God shows up and works in us and through it. If this church is going to go anywhere, if it's going to survive at all, we need the Lord to come and build the house. And I still believe that. It's the same idea from 1 Corinthians 3, which is why we read that passage. This is a foundational passage, I think, for understanding ministry and how ministry works and what ministers are. You know, earlier in 1 Corinthians, we find out that church had a celebrity pastor problem. Yeah, that's not a new thing that we have that today, this whole celebrity Christianity where we kind of get behind one personality and probably give way too much attention to it. That was going on in the church at Corinth, right? We find out in 1 Corinthians 1, there were factions forming. So people saying, "I'm with Paul," and others, "I'm with Apollos." Apollos was a famous preacher, a powerful preacher in the early church who had done some work there. And so they were forming around these cults of personality in a way. "Well, I'm with him. And Paul's, first of all, he rebukes them for that. Right, you're being very immature. He says that earlier in 1 Corinthians 3. This is not Christian maturity here when you divide over people. But then he corrects them, and this is the point of verses 5 and 9. "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? How should you think about ministers of the gospel? They are just servants through whom you believed." And then verse 6, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." Why are you giving too much attention to the ministers? It's God you should be giving credit to. That's where the credit for your growth should go. It's to God. "I planted, Apollos watered, but it is the work of God to bring growth in your life and in your church." So we praise God for that. And he uses the illustration of farming. You're God's field, right? A farmer does a lot of work, but he can't bring the growth. And that's what Paul is saying about ministers. They do work, and that's not unimportant, but only God can bring the growth. So give credit to God. Give him the credit. Unless he builds, we labor in vain. Same idea. And so all of that to say, we're filled with gratitude today because without God's blessing on this church, we simply would not be here today. I absolutely believe that, and I hope if you're part of this church, you believe that as well. Many years ago, I knew the minister who was overseeing all of the church planting, all of the new works in our entire denomination in the country. And I remember being on a conference call with him. He was talking to a lot of would-be church planters and churches that want to plant a church. I remember him saying this, it was simply this: if you're interested in starting a church, you need to start praying. Because if God doesn't open doors, it will not happen and it will not work. I absolutely believe that. Without God's protection and leading and opening of doors, this church would not have gone. There's a podcast I used to listen to. I haven't listened to it for years now, but I used to listen to it called How I Built This. And in the podcast, the host interviews just business leaders who have started businesses and are now very successful. And the whole point of the podcast is, hey, tell me the story of your business. How did it start? How did you become this successful company that you are? And it's interesting to listen to, but at the end of every episode, the host of that always asked a question, which I appreciated. And he would ask this now multimillionaire person who's very successful, looking back on it, as you look back over the story of your company's rise, how much of your success would you say was due to your hard work and skill And how much of it was just luck? It's a good question. And inevitably, every single person said, well, yeah, I mean, we worked hard, but there was a lot of luck. There's a lot of things that had to happen at just the right place and just the right time, without which none of the work and skill would have gone anywhere. And you know, one guy I listened to said, it's probably 50-50, because if I had started this company 2 years earlier, it wouldn't have gone. 2 years later, I would have missed it. I mean, it was just so many things that came together. And you know, looking back, thinking back this week, I can absolutely resonate with that. Not the luck part, of course. Yeah, we don't, just to be clear, we don't believe in luck. What the world calls luck, we know is God's leading, his providence, his blessing, his care over our life, his guidance of it. But I, you know, as I look back over, you know, 5 years of the church, there's just so many things that had to come together for this thing to happen. So many little ways which God, you know, provided for this church that are just way above and beyond any planning or work. I mean, that started, honestly, before we moved here. I think I've shared this story at least one time, but, you know, before we even moved here from Michigan, the first thing you got to do to plant a church, you have to start fundraising. And that was a daunting task for me. I was 40 years old. I'd never asked anyone for a dollar in my life, and I didn't really want to, but that was part of it. We had agreed we needed to raise $300,000 before moving here. And the denomination gave me a book. Here, go read this, and you'll know how to do this, which I did read the book, and it says, you know, here's what you need to do. You need to get a list of people. List everyone you've ever known, and anyone you come in contact, put them all in these lists, and then you got to categorize the list by people that you know well and might give, and people that may not give, and then you got to develop a really good, I mean, for lack of a better word, sales pitch, you know, a mission statement for the church that's compelling, that will just get people to give money. So I'm working on all this stuff. Of course, I'm trying to do it. It's a little daunting, but as I'm doing all of that, the point is, wondering, you know, who's going to give in Michigan to a church in Arizona, because I was living in Michigan. We got an email. I won't forget this because it was meaningful to me. I hadn't asked anyone for anything yet. Hadn't even started the process. And I got an email from somebody that wasn't on any of my lists. I wouldn't even have thought of asking, saying, hey, I heard that you're starting a church. I want to donate to it. And it was a large figure. And my wife started crying, and we were touched, not just because of the money. Of course, the money is real. But for me, it was a reminder from God, yes, do your planning and all of that stuff. And I can use that too. But if this thing's going to go, it's because I'm building it. It's not because of your work. It's not because of your skill. It's not because of anything you're going to do. This is my church. I love my church. And I really feel like that set the whole tone of the entire plant for me. It's a good reminder. I often think about that. I look back over 5 years and I see God's protection of the church in so many ways. You know, a church plant is a fragile thing. That's one thing I now say. What's the difference between an established church and a church that's starting? Fragility. Right? By definition, a church plant has very few people and very few resources, and so it's very fragile. Any little thing can happen and derail the whole thing. Any infighting, any arguments, any division, people leave, and the thing might be over. And God protected our little core group from that. I think he protected us from discouragement, honestly, over the years. You know, when a church plant starts, there's often a flurry of excitement. We're starting this new thing. Yes, let's go. And it's easy to get rah-rah motivated. But then reality sets in, right? And yes, of course, you hear stories of churches, I've heard them too, that start and in 6 months you go from 15 people to 500 people. I've heard that. I hate those stories. I'm just kidding. I don't hate those stories. I celebrate what God is doing in his body. But, you know, that's certainly not our story, and to be honest, I don't think that's a normal story for most churches getting started. No, but you start, but then you have to persevere. After the initial excitement, all of a sudden you realize, wow, we're a small church trying to do a lot of work, and you see the same 15 people week after week after week, and you're like, God, can we get 16 this week? Please, 16. Or even 15 and a half. I don't even know what that means, but even a half, can we just not have 15 again? Is this, and of course you get there and there's not 15, there's 13 that week. And I remember many Sundays, the first summer of 2022, going into service at 4 p.m. at La Casa, just wondering, is there going to be more than 10 people there? And that was a realistic concern. And Lord, even if there's not, I want to preach like there's 500. It shouldn't matter. It doesn't matter. But the point is that you have to persevere, and it's hard sometimes not to despise the day of small things, small beginnings, and get discouraged and say, you know, is this really worth it? Is this really going to go anywhere? Is the Lord really doing anything in all of this? You don't see much going on. And all that to say, I think the Lord protected our initial core group members from discouragement. They all stayed through those early years. If any of them had left, I don't know what would have happened. They all stayed, and I see God's hand in that. I see God's leading for our church over 5 years. I look back and just see a lot of open doors that happened that it's not that I did anything, just anywhere from people. How do you meet people? Moving down here and finding out that certain folks, including one of our elders, Jeff Carpenter, was waiting for a plant. I didn't even know Jeff, but he was there, and there was a small group of people waiting. Someone in the church has told me, our church has always just had exactly the right mix of people for every season of our life, and that's true. I think of the places we've been, the very first location at La Casa de Cristo. I sent Jeff Ruby an email this week. He's the pastor at La Casa. That was our first meeting spot. They let us, an unknown church, no affiliation, go in there. You know what they charged us? $400 a month. Well, you can't even buy dinner in Scottsdale for $400. We paid $400 a month. I mean, talk about a blessing for a small, very small church plant to get in there, be able to meet in really a beautiful campus. Then I won't even tell the story of getting to Archway. That was an open door. But even getting here, we're the first church that's been able to meet in here for over a decade, I think. So a lot of ways that God has opened doors for us to go. So all that to say, I don't want to take up too much time. Be thankful. Be thankful. The story of Sojourn Church is not we're awesome. Look at us. Look at how great we are. We made this happen. Rather, it's we planted, we watered, God gives the growth. And we praise God for his faithfulness. So be thankful. Be encouraged. That's the second thought. Be encouraged. Be encouraged because your labor is not in vain. So we read from 1 Corinthians 15. It's a fitting chapter or verse to read after Resurrection Sunday because, of course, Paul is thinking on the reality of Christ's resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. But what difference does that make in our life? Well, last week on Resurrection Sunday, we talked about the big one, which is we don't fear death because just as Christ has risen, so we who are in Christ will also defeat death. But Paul ends the chapter with another implication of the resurrection. It's not just about what happens when we die. It's about life now. He says in verse 58, which is going to be our focus, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord because your labor is not in vain. Right? Because the resurrection is true, your labor is not in vain. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, it is in vain. He said that earlier in the chapter. Your faith is in vain. You're still in your sins. Don't waste your time with Christianity if Christ is still in the grave, but he is risen. And that changes everything. Life has meaning, purpose, it's going somewhere, and everything we do for the Lord now, all of our labor, our worship, our sacrifices, our love, our servants, our obedience to Christ is not in vain. It has real meaning and real purpose, eternal significance. Of course, that's true for our life in general, isn't it? Be encouraged, Christian. Everything we do for the Lord matters, right? Whether they're big things or we think they're big things or very small things. Jesus said, whoever gives a cup of cold water to someone in my name, great is his reward, right? Even the small acts of service, the small sacrifices, the small ways we seek to honor Christ in our lives, in our workplaces, in our families, in our singleness or in our marriage, like these things matter. But it's also true in the church, right? It's true in the church. Our labor for the Lord in the church is not in vain. So be encouraged for those who have sacrificed time and talent and treasure to build up the body of Christ. And this particular expression of it here at Sojourn has not been in vain. As I think back on 5 years, God has used all of the sacrifices that were made to be where we are now. I mean, even if the church had not made it, even if we shut down after a year, the labor wouldn't be in vain because God sees and he knows. But we haven't shut down. We're still here. And God has used all of our efforts to get us here. I mean, we exist. 5 years ago, there was no church that existed. Now there's a church that exists. How did that happen? Because of the labor of God's people. God blesses it, but he used our labor. It's really an amazing thing. And so for those of you who have served in big ways and small ways and given, your labor has not been in vain. God has used it. I mean, if you had given me a picture of the church, somehow I had a vision or something. I didn't, just to be clear. But if I could have had a vision of this service right now, 5 years ago before we started, I would be praising God for it. Not only is there a church that exists, but there's a church now that God is at work in. And I believe that. I believe that God is at work and has been at work in our church. And yes, there's the obvious things, right? There's worship happening every week that I believe is glorifying to God. There's word and sacrament. There's community groups. Men and women are meeting together, praying for each other. Burdens are being borne. There's men's and women's stuff going on. All of those things are happening. We've had professions of faith and baptisms over these years. We've made efforts to outreach and serve the community. Through all of those things, God is at work. I know for a fact we've had people who've been struggling greatly with their faith that have been really refreshed and renewed through the ministry of this church and these people. That there are people who have been really deconnected from the body of Christ that have reconnected. And I praise God for those things, those maybe bigger things. But there's so many other things, so many small things that I'm thankful for. The ways that maybe the less obvious things that show that the love of Christ and the Spirit of Christ are present and working in and through the people of this church. Just some things that come to mind. The women of our church coming around, a younger woman who's new to the faith and giving her a prayer journal and writing words of encouragement. I think of a community group coming around, a family going through a hard time and passing the bucket, as it were, to give a couple $100 for meals to help support and provide some encouragement. I think of, we've had several families come through our church over the years who are here to go to Invita, that the cancer treatment center that our church has come around in some really significant ways. One family I'm thinking of, a lot of kids, a lot of needs, and this church basically adopted them. They're not staying. They left. They've been gone. Our church loves them. And I actually saw their pastor back in Tennessee last summer at General Assembly, and through tears in his eyes, thank you for Sojourn Church. Thank you for caring for that family. So again, so many ways that God is at work in this church. So all that to say, be encouraged. The labors for the Lord that we do here, that we invest here, they're not in vain. God is using them. And I want you to know that. And hopefully that motivates us. And that's the last thought I have. Be motivated. Be motivated. Be motivated to what? Well, to keep abounding in the work of the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable. Keep abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor is not in vain. Because Christ has risen from the dead, because death has been defeated, because your labor, therefore, is not in vain, therefore, keep going. Be steadfast. Abound in God's work. And of course, that's true. We want that to be true in every area of our life, don't we? I hope all of us are motivated to use the gifts and abilities that God has given us for his glory, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do. Do it all for the glory of God. One of my own life verses is 1 Corinthians 15:10. Been thinking about this since I was in my early 20s. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. Right, whatever, everything we have is from God. We want to abound to the work of the Lord with what he's given us. And that's true for all of us. Be steadfast, immovable. But today on our fifth anniversary, I want to just focus and say, let's keep abounding in the work of the Lord to build his church. In the work here. We've been working hard to get here. Let's keep working hard moving forward. Because, of course, we're not shutting down. This isn't the last Sunday. At least I hope not. I presume not. I can pretty confidently say, unless the Lord comes back, we're going to be here again next week. After that, I guess I don't know. Anything can happen. But the goal is to keep going next couple months, finish the year, keep going years ahead. And so as we do that, as we move forward, let's keep abounding in the work of the Lord here. Let's not coast or stagnate. I mean, God, I'm thankful for where we're at. So thankful. But yet, as I look forward, as I think about the future, I certainly hope the sojourn of 5 years from now is not the sojourn of today. I hope we've grown a lot. I think we can grow a lot in every way, in faith, in hope, in love, in holiness, in maturity, in ministry capacity, in outreach to the community, all of these things. I hope we grow. Our vision here is to experience the gospel deeply and expand the gospel boldly. And my hope is we've just barely begun to scratch the surface of what that could mean. I hope that 5 years from now, we'll look back and say, you know, the first 5 years, praise God for that. But the second 5 years was so much better. Like God worked in so many more ways. That's my hope anyway. I hope we'll see God use our church to have many people come to faith, to see discipleship go deep, to see our children who are growing up here professing faith and being deeply rooted in their understanding of God's word. I hope that the fellowship that's experienced by people in this church goes deep and is real and is meaningful. I hope we're a church where the tears fall freely, but the floors stay dry, as the saying goes, because we have a shoulder to cry on. I hope we're in a position 5 years from now to plant our own church. I think that's very possible. And even if it's not, with God, all things are possible. I hope we can support the work of the gospel in more robust ways beyond the four walls of our church over the next 5 years, both locally and nationally through missionaries. I hope our church is just a place where people who walk in here say, God is in this place. God is here. I can see it. So I'm so thankful for all of the work, all of the labors, all of the prayers, all of the sacrifices that so many people have made for 5 years of Sojourn Church to be a reality. I just say, let's keep abounding in that work. Let's be motivated to keep going. And let's do that with confidence. So I'm going to add one more point. Be confident, right? Be thankful, be encouraged, be motivated, and be confident. Because as we move forward here, let's be confident that our labors here, whatever the future holds, I don't know what it holds, but whatever it holds, we can be confident that our labor will not be in vain. Just that it has not been, it will not be. Not because we're such a great church, not because we're so great or mighty, but because we serve a God who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think. We serve a God for whom nothing is impossible, a God who can strike straight blows with crooked sticks. We can be confident because we believe in the great and mighty Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who loves us, who died for our sins, but as we remember last week, rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God and who's been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And this Christ is the one who said, I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail, cannot prevail against it. So that's where our hope is. Be confident, not in ourselves, but in Christ. Let's keep our hope there. We can't do this. We never could, but Christ can. Amen, and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your church. Thank you for Christ, the foundation of the church, who's been building his church for millennia. And for this local expression of it, and on this Sunday, we give you special thanks for your care and sustaining grace for our church. And we pray that you would just, while we're open, while we're moving, that you would be present with us and working through us always. We ask this in your name and for your glory. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Amen.